This is Deirdre Fay from Safely Embodied, and I'm here today talking with Elizabeth Lehman. And Elizabeth is somebody I've known for a number of years. She's a New York City-based psychotherapist who's going to talk with us today about resilience, which some of you may have heard about and known about, and certainly is an essential ingredient that we need for healing from any kind of life difficulty. And one of the things I love about Elizabeth is her warmth and her kindness. She's the founder of Resilient You, which is an audio program which you can buy on Amazon or on CD Baby. And you'll see from our talk today that she's a warm companion and guide for the journey. So today she's going to be giving us simple, powerful ways to regulate stress and overwhelm. And she's going to share some of the experiences that are on her audio program to give you some practice that you can use when life gets stressful. So with that out of the way, let's talk to Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Deirdre. Thank you so much for allowing me to share with you and others some of what has become invaluable to me.
Oh, good. Tell us more.
Well, for starters, I thought we could just jump right in because I'm noticing I'm feeling a little bit anxious, you know, about doing the podcast. I'm noticing that I'm just slightly short of breath, and I'm noticing a little uneasiness in my solar plexus area, which are signs to me of my nervous system possibly, you know, starting to become a little dysregulated. So I thought I could guide us and I could myself do one of the short, fast-acting physical calming techniques. The reason why I call them that is that they're not longer guided meditations, and they're really designed based in research that shows that these types of techniques bring the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the brake part of the nervous system, on really quickly so that the nervous system starts calming itself. So I've given these different physical calming techniques names of songs, and the first one is "Want to Hold Your Hand." And
that's great.
So it's a guided experience where what you do is you want to hold your non-dominant hand with your dominant hand. And you can simply, like, hold the non-dominant hand with the dominant hand, or you can, like, hold the thumb on your non-dominant hand with your dominant hand. You can play with this. Some people find holding the index finger a little more calming. And maybe your non-dominant hand or thumb on that hand could represent the part of you that may be feeling vulnerable right now. And your dominant hand could represent a place inside of you that's feeling stronger. So let's give our bodies just a little bit of time to respond as we continue to hold our non-dominant hand with our dominant hand. And just notice what eventually happens in your body as you hold your hand like that. Perhaps you notice your breathing flowing. Some easing in your muscles. a shift in your posture. Or something else, however slight. Welcome as part of your unique experience. Whatever you may notice. Including possibly noticing nothing. Which is fine too. So, I'm just wondering if you noticed anything from doing that.
Well, I played with the different hand variations, and I felt like I really loved holding my thumb. And it's interesting how it was very clear to me what my preference was. But that was interesting because I didn't think it would make a difference, but it did. And then I watched my body just sort of soften. That was just the simple thing. And I loved how you said, but you may not notice anything.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was important for people to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we don't always notice things.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I give you on the audio program several different physical calming techniques. It's really like a smorgasbord of them because not every single one resonates for everybody. I generally find that some people end up using a couple of them, you know, on a regular basis. They kind of become their tried and true. So on some of them, people may not notice, you know, a visible change. And on others, people might notice a profound shift, you know, that's very calming and centering. And I love the way you allowed yourself to play with it. And then what you said about how you definitely felt that holding your thumb was the right thing for you. And that's another thing that I really believe. I feel that inside each and every one of us that there's this inner knowingness, this inner wisdom, if you will, that knows exactly what we need. So I really encourage people to listen to that above any suggestions that I might give, because whatever is prompting you that way inside is what's just right for you. So I really like that you said that.
So how are you doing, having done it yourself? Do you feel more able to be here with us?
I do. I notice that I'm feeling more settled, that I'm feeling like I'm more in my body. I can feel my legs more. You know, I can feel my feet more. So I'm feeling more present as a result, which is one of the intentions. So we could, at this point, we could talk together about resiliency, if you like. How does that sound?
Perfect, yep.
Yeah?
Yep, perfect.
Okay. The program really is, it's an audio program. It's a combination of physical calming techniques like this, and then I have a couple of other guided experiences that are longer and have a more meditative style and feel to them, and I'll be giving experiences of those a little later on in the program. And then there's also a psychoeducational component to it where I talk about the nervous system, which I feel like is crucial in terms of resiliency. And what happens when we're in a place of able to be resilient and what happens when we're not. Because I personally see resiliency, I don't see it as a quality per se. I really see it as a process. And I think it's an innate process that all of us have. And this is something I came across when I was researching resilience. And then also I have to say I really got this because there's a woman named Eileen Russell who's a senior faculty member on the AEDP, the AEDP process of writing a soon released book. It's called Restoring Resilience, Transformative Therapy at Work. It's going to be published by Norton. And she was kind enough to let me read the draft of some of the chapters for the book. And it's really, I have to say, it's from Eileen, that I just got how resilience is something that we all have. And also the sense that it's a process. And I feel really grateful for that. And then for me, what helps me understand it is understanding what's going on in the nervous system. And the person who's really informed me in that regard is Stephen Porges, who is a neurophysicist, researcher, developer, and author of the polyvagal theory. And his description of and what he's come up with in terms of the nervous system, I found it so helpful. I first found out about Stephen when I was studying somatic experiencing, and then I went on to have the pleasure of actually meeting him in person and hearing him speak, and then making my way through his book, which is challenging. There are other things on his website, you know, that are more accessible. But there's something about the way he presents and describes the nervous system that, for me, just really took the shame out of getting triggered, out of ending up behaving in certain ways that I really didn't want to be behaving, and it helped me have more compassion for myself. And it also, I have found that by sharing it with others, that it helps them feel more compassionate towards themselves. So that when we're able to be resilient, when we're in a range of resilience, so to speak, our nervous system is regulated. I mean, yes, there's stimuli, you know, that's coming in and that we're responding to, but it's all within a manageable range. But when something becomes overly stimulating for us, and something that was important for me to realize, it's not just when it's something that's disturbing, but it can also be something really exciting as well. It can become overly stimulating, and the nervous system will automatically, because it's organized around keeping us safe and it's organized around survival of the organism, meaning us, that it will automatically, spontaneously start moving towards these adaptive responses, such as fight, flight, and freeze. And again, it's all there, you know, in an attempt to protect us and to keep us safe. So to realize that this is what happens, and he calls it neuroception, when the nervous system on its own is sensing, unconsciously sensing, this is going on without us even realizing it, if a certain stimuli is safe or if it's perceived of as a threat. And if it's neuroceived as being safe, then the body is going to stay in a state of equilibrium. But if it's perceived of as a threat, the body's going to start mobilizing for fight or flight, or if those options are not available to us, it will move into immobilization, where it starts to shut down. So knowing and understanding that has been helpful to me. And with that, there's an awareness of, okay, there are times for us, for all of us, especially those of us who have experienced trauma in our lives and have sensitive nervous systems, that there are times for all of us when we get triggered and we start moving towards an unwanted fight or flight response, that there's some part of us that knows, even though it can happen really quickly, that knows that the way we're responding is like we're overreacting and we don't want to be doing that. And knowing this and being able to catch the signs in the body sooner rather than later, there's things we can do, such as what we just did with holding the non-dominant hand with the dominant hand. So when we are regulated, when our nervous system is regulated, we're in what's called the range of resilience. And there's stimuli that's naturally coming in. And through what Stephen Porges calls neuroception, which is the body's natural ability to unconsciously perceive, if you will, or sense if stimuli are safe or unsafe, through neuroception, if it's being determined that we're safe, that the stimuli is safe, then there's going to be this equilibrium in the nervous system, and we're able to really be our best self, if you will, when this is going on. We're able to be connected to ourselves and to other people. However, if something is perceived of or sensed by the ability of neuroception, the process of neuroception, that it's a threat, then the body, in its infinite wisdom, really, it amazes me, will start automatically moving out of its range of resilience and moving towards a fight response is a way of us protecting ourselves, and possibly a flight response if through neuroception the body perceives that a flight response is a better choice for us. We'll start moving towards flight. And then, you know, if neither of those are available to us, then the body will start moving towards the freeze response or immobilization, start to shut down. Again, it's all organized around survival and keeping us alive. So knowing this, I find to be really helpful to get what's going on, so that if we get triggered and we find ourselves overreacting and moving towards an undesired fight, flight, or fight response, if we can catch it sooner rather than later by just noticing certain signals within the body, we can actually do things like want to hold your hand, you know, that we did at the very beginning. And then I'm going to be sharing with you some other ways that we can resource ourselves in order to bring the parasympathetic nervous system online, which is the brake part of the nervous system, so that we can calm ourselves and help ourselves return to our range of resilience. So I personally find that very empowering and exciting. And as they say, information is power. Some people say that. I certainly find that to be true. And then to have actual techniques, you know, that can help us do this, so that we can regulate our nervous system when we're needing and wanting to. Of course, if we're in an actual dangerous situation, we want the nervous system to take over and make us run out of a smoke-filled building or something like that. We're not going to interrupt its natural process at that point. It's just, when we know that we're overreacting. We have an awareness. I'm overreacting. I don't want to take my husband's head off. You know, I want to calm myself. It's times like that that I think it's really helpful to use these techniques. And that's what I consider to be the process of resiliency. It's an actual process of active fluid happening all the time, keeping us regulated, the body regulated, and then we go into, we become dysregulated when we get triggered and the nervous system becomes overwhelmed. And then what happens within the body to return us to a state of equilibrium? And the body actually will automatically do things on its own in an attempt to keep us regulated. But as I said, there's sometimes when the body needs help, and if we know what we can do, it's great. So that's my little
explanation. Do you have another exercise we could do?
Definitely. I think we probably need one after having that long explanatory part. This can be a way of relaxing.
It's definitely interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you know, we can just calm ourselves a little bit. So this is another one of the short, fast-acting physical calming techniques. And this one I named Every Breath You Take. Of course, it's a take on the Sting song. But it's a way of breathing that it's for people who have learned breathing in yoga, it's different. And yet there's something about breathing in this particular way, for whatever reason, seems to really, again, stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system quickly. And I'm going to take you through it. I just wanted to say that, sorry, Deirdre, I know you're in Boston. I'm a Yankees fan. And I saw one of the Yankees baseball players at the bat doing this, obviously doing this physical calming technique. And I went, he's doing this to calm himself so that he can perform better, you know, while he's at bat. So this is what it is, every breath you take. What we're going to do is breathe in through our nose and out through our mouth. And we're going to take a deep breath in through the nose and hold it, you know, for like a couple of seconds, and then slowly breathe out through your mouth. And then again, you're going to breathe in through your nose, hold it for a couple of seconds, and then breathe out through your mouth. And you can do this several times, for as long as you want, but generally, just doing it several times, people often find that they notice that there's a calming. And you might also perhaps notice an easing in your muscles, slowing of your heart rate, or anything else, however slight, including not noticing anything at all, that you may notice and welcome as signs of your nervous system regulating itself. So how did you find that one?
I like it, and I was thinking about different yogic breathing techniques and why they work, and at some point that's for another talk, but how important it is actually to hold the breath, to contain it, it helps it actually move in a different direction. It interrupts the pattern.
That's good to know. Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways that we can resource ourselves, which is what I call what we're doing. I call it resourcing, which is helping the nervous system regulate itself. And yoga is a great way for a lot of people to resource themselves. And there's so many different ways. And that's one of the things I do in the audio program, too, is I ask people to think about and guide them through and give them examples of inner resources they may have and outer resources that they might have and that they use, because we're resourcing, all of us are resourcing ourselves on a regular basis. I just find it helpful to be conscious about what we're doing.
I love that you have a program that people could listen to. Sometimes our attention spans when we're activated is heightened. So having an audio program where you can even just go exercise to exercise to exercise, different ways, and walk your way through to a calmer body. I think that's, rather than trying to do a big chunk and sit for 45 minutes or something, to do these short little exercises can really help.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Well,
yeah,
thank you, Elizabeth. I know the time
sure
is tight. So we'll end here. And I want people to know about your website, which is www.resilient-hyphen, is that what it's called? -u.com. Resilient-u.com. And you have samples there. People can listen to those different samples of the sections, right?
That's right. Yeah, I can.